It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day. The Jason Woolley, Tim Van Vorn, Homer Hour. Discussing the Green Bay Packers and their president. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football team. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. That would be the guy they picked as president when they could have picked John Schneider, general manager of Seattle. Three Super Bowl appearances, and they've won two. I didn't discuss this the last couple of minutes because just let it move on. Not just last year. Three Super Bowls, won two. And the Packers had a chance to make him the president and chose not to. Why do I mention it? Because they're just going to have to get it. They're going to win again. Seattle's going to win another Super Bowl. I don't know when. It'll be before the Packers. Won the Super Bowl. 2015, lost. Like the Packers did the second one after they won the first one over Denver. And then won again. With the 2026 victory, Schneider became the first GM in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowls with the same organization using an entirely different roster and head coach. Now, you didn't want him as president. You may have had a chance to get him as GM. I'll talk to Jason about that. I have, but he gets tired of me bringing it up. I'm just trying to help you. Going to have to deal with this as a Packer fan every day for God knows how many years. Then the story will come out differently each time, and it'll be, how did they mess up? I don't know. That would be on Murphy. But 1-800-990-3776. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football team. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. Been very consistent. Not only does he like them, he believes they will do better. Because at this point in time, especially in the last 4 years, haven't done diddly squat. For whatever those reasons are, you wouldn't say... President said, unless you believe they can do better, because we all agree they haven't done good. They haven't done enough. Haven't won the division the last 4 years. One playoff win in the last 4 years. One with Rodgers, and then the last three with Jordan Love. And to me, the issue is pretty simple. It's about being good, but not good enough. You gotta have something special. Look at the 49ers and the impact of Bill Walsh. And since then, it's good that they haven't won a Super Bowl in how many years? And that's a second thought of mine that's very important. There's nothing special about any organization, any team, any college football, Notre Dame, whatever, because there have been times when they weren't good. Why? Because they picked the wrong coach or the wrong GM. The day, and I said this with Jason Wood, the day you think you're special is the day you start being not special. Has nothing to do. You don't have the right people. Look at the Packers after Vince Lombardi. Okay. Yeah, but this is the Green Bay Packers title town. No, it's not. It's Vince Lombardi town. And you bring in, you do nothing, you bring in Ron Wolf, and the next thing you know, you win another Super Bowl, or under his people, another Super Bowl. Is it about Title Town? No! It's about Ron Wolf and who he brought in. Had nothing to do with Green Bay. You don't have good people. People look back like Alabama and how great they were. No, it was about Nick Saban. Go back and look at Alabama before then. I think Don Shula's kids, one of them was there. They had stretches where they weren't any good. Or Oklahoma wasn't any good. Ah, but they're Oklahoma. Then Notre Dame. It has not nothing, but very little to do. The day you think it's about your tradition, you'll lose. Because that didn't do you any good. Kids don't want to go to school because of a tradition. They want to go to school because they got a good coach or they're winning. And it happens to be at that school. But without the coach and whatever, though, it is not Title Town. Other than that, it should be Lombardi Town is what it should be. Because without Vince Lombardi, other than Old Testament with Don Hutson, I'll give you that. Not Title Town, it's Lombardi Town. He made the Green Bay Packers. I do Marquette. Al McGuire made Marquette. The team's been pretty good since. He goes to the championship game in 74. Now he wins the championship in 77. Marquette, since 77, has been to one Final Four and lost their only game. They haven't made to a championship. And what was that? 50 years ago. 50 years ago. They were that good. Why? Because they were Marquette? No. Because Marquette had Al McGuire, and they have a great tradition. How far does that tradition take you? A lot further with Al McGuire. The Wisconsin football. Wisconsin football is Barry Alvarez. Barry Alvarez isn't at Wisconsin. There's no reason to know they'd be any good now. He created everything, not only himself, but then who followed him. Not about Badgers aren't Title Town, Rose Bowl Town, or whatever. They're Barry Alvarez Town. And now the challenge is to try to find someone as good as Barry Alvarez. But what about him? I don't know. Maybe helps a little bit, not much. You still got to find the right person. But if you think you're going to win just because you're Wisconsin, you're going to start not winning. It's hard, and you have to pick the right people. And if you don't pick the right people, Indiana, most people there don't even know they had a football team. They get the right guy. So now, and when that guy leaves, Indiana could be horrible again. How good will they be? Depends on who follows that guy. Not about the school, not about the team. It's about the people and where they are. Now, it is true. Saban couldn't win at Michigan State. You'd have to ask him. There are places that are easier to win than others, given that he won a championship at LSU and he also won a championship, multiple ones at Alabama. But I think Saban could win anywhere. Coach is that good. Luckiest thing about the Green Bay Packers isn't even close. That they hired Vince Lombardi. Would it be Title Town without Vince Lombardi? That's right. That should be the discount liquor Twitter poll question. Would Green Bay actually be Title Town if not for Vince Lombardi? Yes or no? We'll just see how many people. Now, I understand it's getting difficult because Vince Lombardi's now becoming Old Testament. Vince Lombardi coached 60 years ago. 1966, 67, the last championship, that's 33. Yeah, 60 years ago. So it'd be understandable. It's like asking me about Don Hutson. Or Homer says Green Bay should be Lombardi Town, not Title Town. Agree or disagree? That's what we want. 1-800-990-3776. We'll see what Jason Wilde says next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
He has his own Yuengling hotline, the Jason Wilde Yuengling hotline, because he is three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm good, Homer. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Fine. All right. What do we have?
Well, first of all, I just want to let you know I can't do the show on Thursday, so just let Bulaga know.
You can't do the show this Thursday.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I don't know.
You told me that he was mad at me.
Because he was disappointed, mad is it. I don't know that I've ever seen him mad. Have you ever seen him mad? Do you know what would make him mad?
Bring up Bruce Irvin and see what happens.
Because he schooled him one game?
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, again, I don't ever want to be on the wrong side of blue. I love him.
Well, no, but I don't know. I don't know what that side is.
But if you want to get him mad, I think if you want to get him mad, he'll get after you for that. Or he's a bit, you know, he's obviously a huge Manchester City fan. So if you can really get under his skin somehow about Manchester City's soccer team, I think Tottenham Hotspur is one of their rivals. I don't know soccer.
I like that.
Enough,
that's what I'm saying. How do you get under his skin? I would love to ask his teammates. I don't think they believe it's possible.
Well, I think Lindsley's a Tottenham Hotspur fan. And I think Lindsley, who obviously they're really good friends, Corey Lindsley actually followed him to the Chargers. But I think he's also one of the few guys that really knows how to get after him. We've done a couple of charity things for one of the charities that Corey's heavily involved in, CASA. And there you can tell. He knows. Game recognizes game, and he knows how to get after
him. I would think that. I would guess, and you could be right, I would also guess is ripping on Iowa. I think he's very proud of
his time and the way they do things in Iowa. Like, I think for him on that one, you know, things have gone as poorly as they have for Wisconsin, that every time Jesse tries to do that, it's more of like an annoyance than an actual getting under his skin.
He
dismisses it pretty easily. So.
An annoyance versus getting, yes, that's the great distinction there. Okay, let's get to the Packers.
Yeah, Trey Smack. We're really setting up some competition for that guy.
Explain for those who don't know the information.
So, obviously, they released Brandon McManus a couple months ago. Now, today, they released Lucas Habersick, who kicked last year when Brandon McManus couldn't. And you could probably argue that he probably should have kicked more, including a 61-yard field goal, the longest in Packers history.
That's going to be a good trivia question.
It's going to be a great trivia question, yes, because everyone's going to want to say, you know, Ryan Longwell or Mason Crosby, and those are not going to be the correct answers. So they released him today. They replaced him with a fella named Lenny Craig. No relation to Dave Craig, I don't think, the old Milton College quarterback. It just feels to me that they're kind of setting the stage for, you know, clearing the runway, if you will, for Trey Smack to be the guy. Now, you know, I don't think Lucas Habersick was necessarily a kicker of enough renown where you thought, oh, yeah, he might beat him out. But now, you know, they've removed him from the equation as well. And so and I don't know how to ask Goody that without him feeling like it's a unfair question. But to me, it's a pretty straightforward one. Like, everywhere else on this team, you guys talk about competition all the time, and it brings out the best, and now you've got a guy who, you know, came over from Germany and spent time on a practice squad last year, in fairness to him. But, like, really? Like, I don't know. I would think that you'd want to create as much competition as you can to see what Trey Smack is made of, and that's not the direction they're going. So
why is the question you're asking and everybody else would ask you, and I'm that in the group?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That is the question I'm asking. Why?
And if you had to come up with a best case scenario, even though you don't do it with much confidence, like, you know, the $100 bet, whatever your explanation is, you'd probably bet $5.
Here's the thing. Like, let's say the explanation is, well, we just think that, you know, it's more important to build this confidence in training camp and, you know, if we put the pressure on him of direct competition, you know, it's not going to bring out the best in him. What player worth a damn is a guy that is going to fold when he has the pressure of competing?
Well, I'll give you an answer there.
That would be a good answer.
Yeah. No, they would have given him as many kicks as possible. They want him to kick everything, and they believe in him, and they want to get as many kicks as possible.
No, they don't want to do that either. You don't want to do that, because then if you have him kick too much, he ends up like Brett Conway, and he pulls a quadriceps.
Can you do that? Do you have a fear of that on a kicker? Really?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they want him. That's why they very rarely do, like, even when you have a clear-cut guy, very rarely do you have a camp where you don't have a second kicker just because you don't want him taking all the reps every day. Hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't thinking of camp. I was thinking more of in games, and you know, just want to have him in all the game situations.
Sure. Well,
and
that's, you can still do that even with a second kicker, right? Like, there's no reason to actually kick the second
excellent
kicker
point
in games. But, I don't know what the reasoning is. I just know that it runs counter to what they do at every other position, right? It's competition. Now, I don't think if you look at this training camp specifically that you're looking at a camp where there's a lot of guys competing for starting jobs. They've got a pretty good idea of who their starters are going to be. But, you know, the whole idea in the big boy league is to compete. And that's exactly how I phrased the question to LaFleur during the offseason. Like, competition is the bedrock of what you do here. I don't understand why you don't want that for your kicker. And his response in part was, we want to put Trey in the best position to succeed. Okay. Again, I'm not sure what that means, but I also think you probably want to put your team in the best position to succeed. And
it is different. Sure that you... There's no way. That's probably what you'd want to emphasize, wouldn't you, Jason? Like, I've been doing this for a long time. I can't remember many situations when, at whatever the situation, the Packers have done it the way they're doing it with their rookie.
Well, favorite. I mean, look, they handed the job to Anders Carlson in 2023 also.
Okay.
But the other part of this equation that I think is important to keep in mind is that when they did that, and it came back to bite them in that playoff game in San Francisco, but when they did that, I don't think they were expecting to be a team that was in the fourth quarter with a chance to book a trip to the NFC Championship game like they were in San Francisco. So that was different. And remember, Goody's also the person who, back in 2022, and I know that season did not end up playing out, that they were a championship-caliber team. But that offseason leading into 2022, where they had lost as the number one overall seed in the NFC to San Francisco at home, Goody had said, he was asked about, you know, the idea of bringing Mason Crosby back, which they did that year, and he was asked, you know, are you going to bring back Mason, and why is that important if you are? And his response was, when you have a championship-caliber team, you have to have a championship kind of kicker. And obviously, Mason Crosby was that, right? He was a kicker when they won the Super Bowl, and he was that guy. Now, that season did not end up being a championship season, but they had a championship-level kicker, and I think Mason Crosby might have made all his kicks that year. And they still decided to move a different direction. If they believe they have a championship kicker or championship team, and they didn't think Brandon McManus was a championship-level kicker, which certainly, even though he kicked on a championship team that won a Super Bowl a decade ago, he did not look like a championship-level kicker in the playoff game in Chicago. Even if you think that, what makes you think that Trey Smack is that? Right? Like, you have no evidence.
My answer is they know they're a year away. So let's use the year to...
It's good to have you on my team on that.
I know. I've stolen it. I give you credit.
Again, I just... And I you know, my interactions with Trey have been very positive. He seems like... He reminds me a little bit of Longwell. He's a
really?
Smart guy.
Whoa.
Well,
that's as good as it gets.
From his intelligence level. And he's, you know... Ryan has actually spent time with him. He's worked him out. He's
right.
You know, kind of a so that would make
well, but
sense.
Ryan is and, people and, should know. Ryan has worked with a lot of kickers. He's kind of doing that.
He
right?
has.
So it's not.
He is. But what I want to be clear on is that I'm not saying that Trey Smack is going to suck. I just the methodology is the part that I don't understand. I have nothing against him, and I don't. We have no idea, including Goody and Cam Acord and everybody else, we have no idea how Trace Mack is going to pan out as a kicker. None, as of right now, in the NFL. We know what he did in college, which was much better than what Anders Carlson did at Auburn. But none of us know.
But there's something about him they clearly like.
Of course they do. And look, they also drafted, Anders Carlson in the sixth round in 2023. Didn't work out. They drafted another guy in the sixth round in 2007, and the guy's the all-time leading scorer, right? So yep. just because one guy was good, neither of those things affect whether Trace Mack's going to be good or not. But my point is that the methodology here of basically having your international pathway player guy to compete with him or whatever, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But again, because of where this team is and the way we're talking about this team and our expectations, it just feels like the approach does not make a bunch of logic from my perspective. Maybe it does to them, but I've yet to hear a real explanation that gives me a good feeling of, okay, that makes sense to me. I understand why they're doing it that way.
Well, that's why they've given you no explanation. Because there isn't one that's going to make sense to you for all the reasons that you just stated.
Yeah. Right? I mean, let's remember, too, like, you know, and these aren't the same because Ryan Longwell was actually in the Lucas Havrisik position more so than anything. But, like, when Ryan Longwell became the kicker in 1997 on the defending Super Bowl champions, he was the undrafted free agent who had to prove it all. Like, he wasn't the guy that had the benefit of being the third-round draft pick. The third-round draft pick was the one who couldn't handle it, and he beat him out. But he still had to compete.
Yes.
Like, and Ryan did.
But that's the way Ryan Wolf did everything, right? Was there ever a time where he didn't? Part of how he created competition was by picking good people.
Yeah. Right. And not just Ron, but Mike Holmgren too. I mean, let's not forget, and I don't think Ron was on board with this because it was his guy, that he'd staked his entire career to, but hey, they were awfully close to going to Mark Brunell,
right,
that quarterback.
And they could have won the Super Bowl with Brunell.
Yeah. I mean, he turned out to be,
yes,
honestly, by 1996, he had his own team in Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. So, yes, that's definitely true.
And now that you bring it up, why didn't they?
Why didn't they go? You know, I think Steve Mariucci and Mike Holmgren and all the coaches kind of talked about it, and they saw it as an inflection point. And quite frankly, because Favre rose to the occasion.
Well, or did Ron Wolf say it ain't happening?
I don't know that for certain, but I don't think that was it. But again, like, I don't know if after they have that meeting, if Favre throws, you know, some more of his rocket balls for interceptions, as Holmgren used to say, if he still does get the benefit of the doubt. But he answered the bell, played at a really high level. And there was never a question of that again. And then they traded Brunell, and the rest is history. But again, we're talking about competition. You know, it's kind of like Iverson. You know, we're talking about practice. Well, we're talking about competition. And in this instance, we're not talking about competition. It's really an afterthought, it seems.
Are there any injuries that you believe should be noted that people are not aware of? And you can always give information about Tucker Kraft. You know what my insight is?
I would love to hear it.
My sources tell me that the MacFund golf outing yesterday, someone paid $14,000 to play a round of golf with Tucker Kraft.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Hope Tucker's good. Yeah, look, Tucker Kraft's going to get a contract. It's a matter of when, not if. He's bought a new house. Much larger than the one that he put on the market that he had been living in with his wife and their child. He's on the PUP for actual medical reasons, but I also think it gives them cover so they don't have to go through the machinations of holding in where he's not practicing, even though he could be, because they don't have a new contract done. You know, I saw this thing from Shannon Sharp where he was interviewing Davante Adams about 2021 and how mad Davante was.
Yes, I was curious as to your thoughts. Was there anything there? That...
Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah, it's the absolute truth. I've been saying that for years.
Yes.
And there's a portion of the fan base that doesn't want to hear it. The reason why, because I had somebody say, it's in the past, move on. No, it's germane to how they're going to handle Kraft. That's why it's interesting. And it's also interesting just for historical perspective. But, like, I don't, you know, they've signed a bunch of guys now to extensions. So they should have done with Davante.
And for those who don't remember, why do you believe they did it?
Because they tried to lowball him.
So they didn't think he was that good.
Well, they got, now look, the three guys they've signed to this point, and again, this is why I bring these things up. I mean, it was also a fresh interview. Like, that was something new that I had not seen before with Davante talking to Shannon Sharp. But, like, the other three guys, they all got them at discounts. I mean, what did the defensive tackle for Jalen Carter for Philly, he got $105 million or something like that guaranteed. Now, I'm not saying Devontae Wyatt is Jalen Carter, but he got $20 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one-fifth of the guaranteed money.
Yes.
Less than that.
And it's important that you emphasize that as being an indication of the value of a contract.
Right. And the Packers got bargains, in my opinion, on three guys that all had injury questions that allowed them to get them cheaper. Tucker Kraft has an injury question from coming back from an ACL, but they ain't going to get him cheaper. Mm-hmm. And it became very acrimonious with Davante. And I don't think that will be the case here. I think they'll have a deal done, and I think he'll get way more guaranteed money than others have because they recognize how valuable he is.
Have you stated that they eventually gave the appropriate offer to Adams, but it was too late?
Yeah, but by then he was – right. By then, okay. I mean, that was all – that was window dressing, so they could claim that they – oh, we tried to keep him. They knew how pissed he was. That he was never going to come back, ever. They franchise tagged
so that if they really had wanted to, they would have done that much sooner, knowing his attitude, how he felt.
Which is what he wanted, which is all he... I mean, and by the way, after having a season where he had, you know, whatever it was, 1,500 yards and 18 touchdowns the season before in 2020, when he would have liked to have gotten the extension in the summer of 2021, he then went out after they didn't give him the contract and had 123 catches for 1,500 yards plus and 11 touchdowns and helped Aaron Rodgers win his second MVP in a row and fourth overall. So it's not like he got out there and, you know, sulked and stunk it up. He stayed healthy. He stayed productive. And, you know, again,
will you ever talk about the refusal or inability to get John Schneider in the same way that you talk about Davante Adams?
Well, the problem with your... Because, look, I'm a – you know how much I love John and how highly I regard him.
My obsession is the appropriate word.
Yeah, obsession is a perfect word, actually. Again, the problem is you – like, they missed their window. Their window was when they hired Goody. And John Schneider wanted the job. If the Packers had said, hey, we'll give you a second-round pick to let John Schneider out of his contract – because he had originally in his contract had an out to come to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then by the time the job opened up again in 2018, they had closed that loophole. But then they could have – that doesn't mean that it's closed. It just means that the Packers would have had to give up compensation. Right.
But you will not their refusal to hire him as president, even though he was a finalist.
Yeah, because that wouldn't have – right. It wouldn't have helped. Okay. He wouldn't have been in charge of personnel. He'd been in charge of, you know,
he'd have been in charge of hiring
money.
The person in charge of personnel.
Which is not the same not good enough. I'd rather have
you'll come around eventually, but I admit it may take a while.
No, I can tell you I won't. You're you're right on the guy, you're wrong on the concept.
You don't trust him in picking the person to do what he did so well?
No, I want him doing what he does well.
You can't.
I want him to run the team.
Okay,
not
but
run the business side.
Well, no, but he's running the team as president.
No,
by picking who's running the team.
Day-to-day personnel. No, but it's not the same. That's like saying, you know, you pick me to take over the Homer Hour.
Right.
I wouldn't do it the way you wanted to do it.
Well, but if you,
I don't do it as well.
Barry Alvarez is a good example. He did it,
it's
and then he picked
example.
The people, and they did pretty well. Why couldn't Schneider do what Barry
Chris
Alvarez
McIntosh.
Did? What?
He picked Chris McIntosh to succeed.
No, I'm talking about as
director.
The coach when he was the
well,
AD.
Right, but they both matter. You don't just take the one that proves. Oh, look, you can pick another good guy.
Well, no, how would you say that Barry Alvarez did in selection of those to replace
him? He's one out of two.
No, the coaches, he was better than one out of two.
And he got Chris McIntosh very wrong.
You got Bielema right. You got Paul Christ right. You don't give Christ any credit for any success.
Well, wait a minute. Then don't we also have to give him picking Gary Anderson? So
yes.
He's 2-2. He's at 500.
Dang.
That's not better. That's
no,
middling.
I didn't say Schneider had to be as good as president as he would be as general manager, but I'm way more comfortable than you are in letting him make the decision to hire the next John Schneider as GM.
Then why didn't John Schneider, who's had two of his lieutenants now leave to become GMs with other teams, why didn't he step aside and become the president for the Seahawks and let them do that job so they could keep them?
Well, because
keep those guys around.
Well, no, he's happy what he's doing, but that's not available with Green
you
Bay.
Think he'd be happy to be the president? Like his, you know, his dad passed away a couple
did
years
you know,
ago.
Are you aware that he didn't want to be president of the Packers?
I don't think if you gave him the choice between being the president and being the general manager who makes all the personnel decisions.
Right.
It's not even close. He would want to be the general manager. Now,
I agree.
He could interview for the president's job because that's different. That's a different job than the GM job. I don't know how happy he would have been had they picked him instead of Ed Policy. And maybe he just did it to get reps interviewing for a job other than GM. So eventually, if that's what he and Tracy want to do, he can do that. And not be the day-to-day grind of watching tape and all the other stuff that comes with being a GM. But, yeah, if you said to me, we get
do
to turn back
Ron
the clock.
Okay, yeah.
Like, by the way, he was also here when Ron retired. And obviously, the Packers gave that job to Mike Sherman. He was one of Sherman's lieutenants and personnel.
Right. Would Ron Wolf have been a good president of the Green Bay Packers?
No, people would have driven him crazy.
Right.
He would have hated it.
Right. Then I'd say if he would have liked it or hated it, would he be successful as a president of the Green Bay Packers? I say yes, but you don't. He would have been in the same situation as Schneider, right?
Yeah, the question is not whether he would have been successful. The question is whether the team would have been successful. And I would say the team would not have been successful with Ron Wolf as the president or John Schneider as the president. They would not have been as successful as they would have been with John Schneider as the general manager or Ron Wolf as the general manager.
Duly noted. There's work to be done. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Tim Van Voren coming up in a little bit. Milwaukee weight loss. I talk about it in the sense that I eat less. And I have no problem doing that. That, to me, is the definition of a weight loss program that works. Isn't that what you want? I know I can live and eat whatever I want and still keep my weight down or make it whatever I want. And there are no buts. I don't have to take drugs, surgery, injections, intense workouts. Nothing. No buts. But you have to do it. No. They have a program. It works. It seems to me the two keys were the things I found with no sugar that I can add salad dressing, barbecue sauce, and less bread. But it may be different with you. It's their program. But I'm not worried about how long. It's been 6 months, 229 to 205 or 206. And if I want to get down to 200, I could do that in a week because I can eat less and I'm happy eating less. $200 off of the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. And, yeah, you can tell them. You can call me. How do you do it? And the key is with the consultation, all those questions you have. But there's nothing special. There's nothing. Homer, you didn't tell me about this. There isn't that. You'll eat less and be happy and fine with eating less. Doesn't go any further than that. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Next. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. He has his own Yingling TVV hotline. He's not next, but he's soon. You never know when someone you care about might need a place like Curative Care. For more than a century, Curative Care has been helping children, adults, and families across Southeast Wisconsin navigate developmental disabilities and find the support they need to thrive. What really stands out, Curative Care doesn't just provide therapy. They get it. It's hard. They know the best suggestions, the best way to help. They help families every step of the way from early childhood through adulthood. They connect parents with resources, provide guidance during challenging times, and create a community where people truly belong. One parent put it this way, life is a bunch of curveballs, but this place is a constant. Whatever you're doing, you must consider and visit it. Curative.org. If you have a family member, friend, coworker, or neighbor maybe looking for answers, support, or services for a loved one with developmental disabilities, you must consider and contact curative.org. The discount liquor Twitter poll question. I figured I would do poorly. I say Green Bay should be called Lombardi Town, not Title Town. Do you agree? Because they want everything because of Lombardi. Without Lombardi, they're not Title Town. Maybe they'd be Old Testament Title Town. But five titles in 7 years. Lombardi Town. Maybe the new president will do that. We need to do this appropriate. Green Bay is not Title Town. If it is, it's Lombardi Title Town. Maybe I should do that as a third choice. Anyway, 17% say do it, and 83% say no, it's Title Town forever. That just means I got work to do. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, next.
The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Voren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. That's why he has the TVV Yingling hotline. He's got his own. TVV, normally we talk about the Packers, but doesn't everything have to be about the Brewers and what they might or might not do? What have you heard? What are you thinking? What do you want to say? In any order.
I'm good on all that, Homer. I'm standing in the shadows of Lambeau Field. The shadows are literally creeping across me right now. So obviously a big week for the Packers, and it could be a very big week before Monday for the Milwaukee Brewers. I would think they make at least one, if not two, significant moves. This is your opportunity. You're in position. You have back-loaded prospect positions. And I think what you've been doing is testing Jacob Mizorowski here, see how healthy he is, monitor Kyle Harrison on the rehab trail, and then roll the dice with who you think is going to be out there.
One, if not two, significant moves.
Yep. Why wouldn't you, Homer? The Cubs are still good. The Cubs are going to be on your tail. We know where the Dodgers are. And the Brewers made it to the NLCS last year. Can you get any further than that realistically if you're going to run into the Los Angeles Dodgers? I don't think realistically you can expect to. So you have to do something to change that dynamic. And I think they're in position to do so.
Would you have a suggestion in any way?
No.
Position, no, I mean, player?
Oh, pitcher. I'm in the pitching camp for sure. Maybe a starter and maybe a bullpen arm. I think they need to shore up that bullpen because that's where games are decided down the stretch in Major League Baseball. It's been true. You know, I think the Royals were kind of the first team that had all those guys who could throw fire out of the bullpen. They just kept coming at you in waves, and we've really seen things kind of tilt in that direction in baseball since.
Wow. Do you factor in the possibility of no baseball next year, or does that not have any input on what you think the Brewers should do?
I think it tremendously impacts them. I think it certainly on the minds of the baseball business people for the Brewers, and I'm sure it's been communicated to the baseball people for the Brewers. If you're asking me what I think they should do, it doesn't impact me at all. You know, you have to take a shot at the brass ring when you got that opportunity to grab it. I think this Brewers team does. The key being, you know, Jacob Mizorowski has shown with some care, he's still, you know, if not the best pitcher in the game, one of the top two or three. If you have that, you try to surround him and go.
Might it be that they have young players to the point, and especially the young pitching, that they don't want to risk everything now because they think that young pitching might even be better in a year or two? Have you considered that?
Yes, I would consider that for sure. I would just say I remember Ethan Small. I remember Ben Hendrickson. I remember Ben Hendrickson was going to tear up baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, not saying these prospects are not better than those guys turned out to be, but I think a sense of urgency exists for this team, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them act upon it. You know, the Jake Bauer's injury news today is concerning. You know, do they have enough offense to hang in, even if they add to the pitching staff? That is a concern.
So those who don't know, the injury busted, what was it? And do we know how
right
long he's
out? Right big toe. Well, you know, you're a left-handed hitter. You're not going to be out the rest of the season, but that's not something you're just going to bounce right back from either.
Vaughn will play, I would assume, but you want...
I would assume, yeah.
That would mean that you have to, in considering the one or two significant moves, you might even have to address that.
You might have to alter your thinking. Yeah, I mean, Brandon Lockridge is at AAA now on rehab. They really like Brandon Lockridge. Maybe he comes back, he gives you another outfield body, and then you decide what you do in trying to come up with some power, because Jake Bowers is still the leading home run hitter on this team.
Yes, and is it rude to say, and I've said this about other players, Christian Yelich needs to change his name to Al Yelich because he's not Christian anymore. And can you hope for what he used to be or what?
Sure you can hope for what he has been at, you know, for the majority of his career. Right now, he's not a big stick in your lineup. There's no other way to slice that, and he would tell you the same thing. You know, obviously the Brewers are going to stay with him. Pat Murphy's going to stay with him. Matt Arnold's going to stay with him. Mark Adonis's going to stay with him. So don't look for a change. What you have to hope for is, you know, a change in production.
But that might be another reason to consider adding a bat.
Yes. 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 Last year in the playoffs, you know, Yelich was struggling. Joey Ortiz was struggling. How many, you know, can you play with? People talk about the offense they were unable to generate. You know, did you have nine legitimate threats in the lineup last year? The way things were going, I'm not sure you did not. So, you know, that's something you have to assess. I'm here in Green Bay, Homer. We talk about the Packers all the time. How interested are you in the Packers regular season, or is it all about positioning for the postseason? I think it's becoming that way for the Brewers as well. Regular season's nice, keeps you entertained all summer long. Lots of reasons to go to the ballpark, lots of reasons to watch the game, or listen to the broadcasts. Brew Crew Tuesday or, you know, Good Karma. But then what are you going to do, you know, when the lights get brighter in the postseason? I think it's getting to that stage for the Brewers as well.
And judging by what you just said, of course, Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, you haven't won a fifth Sportscaster of the Year award, have you? There's four?
No.
Is there?
No,
when's the next one?
Up.
When now? Come
they're
on.
Wising
you won
up.
One in the last couple
four.
Years. When's your fourth on. One was 2000
come
what? 20?
Come on.
All right. Okay. Now, I would say, based on what you've told me, two significant moves, one a bat and one a starting pitcher. What do you think of that theory?
I would not be surprised, but I do think significant. I mean, I don't just think you're bringing in a body. You know, last year, hey, Shelby Miller could have helped if he was healthy, but there was a reason Shelby Miller was moved around, because there was no guarantee that he was healthy at that stage, and they didn't turn out to be. I don't think it's risk time for the Brewers. Lance McCullers in, wasn't working, out. What did he last, a week? So, I mean, I think it's a little different approach this season. I will give the Brewers that night.
They have to have better starting pitching. They cannot believe that they're going to win a World Series with this group of starting pitchers, right? It can't be done, right?
They need a veteran. Homer, I do think they need a veteran. I'm not in the market of Freddie Peralta, but, I mean, I think McCullers, they have to be.
What if you got him for nothing? What if they actually gave you something to take him?
Okay. Then you pitch him in September and see.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, what's your playoff rotation right now, Homer?
Miz and everybody else.
Kyle Harrison. Like when they I'm counting Kyle Harrison.
I like him, but and it's Miz and everybody else.
Logan Henderson, Shane Drouin. I mean, yep. where are you going for that fourth spot? I'm not in the Brandon Sproat camp at this stage. So those are young guys. Logan Henderson, Shane Drouin, Jacob Mizorowski.
You need a better number two.
You need a veteran. Homer,
yes,
you need somebody.
But a good
you
veteran.
Need somebody.
A yeah. good veteran.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Brandon, a healthy Brandon Woodruff would have been a nice plug-in.
Yeah, it's really mm-hmm. sad. Isn't this just sad? You get bothered by injuries in sports as much as I do. I can't imagine being that talented and then just get hurt, you know? Like, if you're smart, yep. the chances of your brain having a torn ACL is pretty small. But in sports, like, he was so good. He was pitching so well this year.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
with it.
And it's everything. I mean, if you're a pitcher, health is everything, right? How many guys,
yes.
arm injury,
and everybody gets hurt now. That's new for us. But, yep. like, when are they going to get hurt? Yep. Everybody. How about Miz? Everybody.
Right.
But they're hoping
right.
he's maybe different because he's a freak. All right, what do you want to tell us regarding the Packers? Is there anything of note? Because this pup that starts the season means nothing.
Homer, I was listening to Jason Wilde and Jesse Nelson this morning. Jesse
right.
was on in the morning.
Yeah.
And Jesse asked Jason, you know, what's the story of the offseason? You know, my answer, it just struck me as I was listening, I thought the story of the offseason is there's no story of the offseason, not a single one. What is impactful from this offseason? You lose a few guys, you sign a few guys, you want your guys to come back from health. It is the exact same run back, same decision makers, same guys. There's nothing different. There's no offseason story. It starts tomorrow on the field for training camp, and the expectation has to be and the goal has to be middle of January on.
You're not making any mention of the veterans that they picked up, which they generally don't do. Or are they not good enough?
Okay.
They're parts.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm asking because to me, they're just parts.
I mean, that's a story because it's in comparison to everything else. It's not a story. Okay.
Right.
Zaire Franklin, I assume he'll be on the field a lot. Hargrave, you know, if it comes off pup, he's going to be out there. He's going to be a part-time player anyway. That's fine. Sure. Sky Moore, sure. I mean, is this off-season of acquisition moving your needle for the Packers?
No, I'm trying to think what
about,
I'll be watching in the season that would impress you. Like if the offense is really, really good or the defense is better. What has to occur for you to be more confident about the end of the year?
You talked about health in baseball. Same thing in football,
right.
Homer. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. They lost their last five games. Haven't won since Denver of last year. How long ago was Denver of last year? They haven't won a football game since, Homer. So they need to be healthy in late November and December. Hang in there until then. So, I mean, you had a great record going. You still got the seventh seed. Get your guys healthy, get into the playoffs, and be healthy.
TVV, you know you may not have won the fifth Sportscaster of the Year award, but you have set a new record for ESPN National in Progress. It is 6:02. Oh, no, we have. That's right. We have golf. Sorry about that, golf. But still, I hope you're honored. Doesn't matter what's next. TVV goes as long as he wants. We can make 6:05 next week if there's no golf and it's ESPN National. Thanks.
You're the best, Elmer.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. Second best in that segment.